Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough unless you're Kylie Jenner. Today's guest was on the program back in September 2017 as part of the American Institute of Architecture to promote their annual tour. That theme was Living with Water. And at the time, I didn't realize her name is Ellen Bilston. First, welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Ellen Bilston.
Thank you, Mark. I'm glad to be back.
Local architect, has a local business still called Bilston Architects and Planning, Architecture?
That's correct. Yeah.
But I didn't realize that I didn't make fun of your last name. It's pronounced Bilston.
Yes.
As in building, and you're an architect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually, it's my married name, and my husband has Swedish background, and build in this case is the translation of the Swedish word for picture, that means literally picture stone. So actually has nothing to do with building anything, but yeah, it doesn't hurt being an architect with a name like that, does it?
Well, you kind of paint a picture with architecture, so I could connect it that way. And Swedish. That's interesting. So when Ellen was on, we were supposed to promote the tour, but we started talking about the State Street charrette and building and residential. And there's a lot going on now with State Street. Macy's closed not too long ago. Nordstrom announced their closing. So I thought of her, but why did I think of her? I was watching TV, and I was watching a program, and I like to bounce back sometimes between two programs. So I tried to hit channel 10, and mistakenly hit channel 18, and it was the mayor on a Zoom-type meeting taking calls, but I had no interest. So I immediately clicked return back to the first station, again input 10, again input by mistake 18. And there I was back to the mayor on this Zoom thing. So I thought it was destiny. So I started listening. And they were talking about the subject that Ellen and I touched on about State Street. And as a matter of fact, coming up was, what's the name of the architect that I told you that I heard? Brian Cornell.
Brian Cornell was on the city council meeting that day making comments on behalf of AIA. And advocacy efforts that have been underway. So, yeah, you tuned in to Brian Cornell's comments that day.
And then I called Ellen, and okay, I have the excuse that I just accidentally, inadvertently stumbled upon it, and just like you're watching a fire, I decided to watch it, but she was intentionally watching it because that's what she does.
Yes.
So
it is such an interesting time right now, you know, with everything being economically shut down and our town already kind of being in a less than ideal state of existence with retail and what's going on State Street. I started tuning into city council meetings just to get a better sense for how are we responding? You know, how is our government responding to the situation we find ourselves in economically? And it's fascinating. So,
let me remind you that my goal has been to have guests on this program and not talk about the virus because everybody turns on TV and radio, they can't get away from it. So,
right.
I know that obviously you got to mention it. But that's not going to be the topic today. We're going to talk about what was happening before the virus and, you know, the ultimate goals and what's been happening. The recent closure of Nordstrom's, the entire – with Macy's closed, I know there was chatter about putting residents in residential units in Macy's. What can you tell me about – just the overall plan with what I heard on the city council, where they were talking about putting in much smaller units in downtown Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. So a number of things come to mind to answer your question. So we've had AUD policy, and AUD stands for average unit size density, for multifamily housing in Santa Barbara throughout the city since 2013. And that allowed for a much higher density of housing than we ever had in Santa Barbara before. And you're seeing a number of those projects under construction nowadays. For example, at the corner of Anacapa and Ortega, we've got the Mark up at State Street and La Cumbra. Those projects are a direct outcome of the AUD process. What we didn't do back in 2013 is include the Central Business District, like right along State Street and the adjacent blocks on either side, on that map for high density development potential. And that is something that the city of Santa Barbara is now giving greater thought to. They started the process last year of looking at altering the AUD map, which would allow for higher densities right in the downtown. After there were a number of studies done, including the AIA Charette on State Street, the Cosmont report that the city reached out to that organization to provide, all the conclusions pointed in the direction that having higher density housing downtown is going to really help our economic situation with retail and bringing life and a sense of community, quite frankly, to the downtown area. So what you bumped into that day in the city council meeting was a renewed energy behind looking at those amendments to AUD policy. And it would allow for things like the Macy's building and all kinds of buildings along State Street to be considered for high-density housing. And so it's a really interesting moment we're in terms of revisiting what the city had deemed to be a lower priority, but now really pushing that agenda forward and allowing the development and the developers and property owners to have clarity about what they can do downtown to increase, you know, the density of what we can do downtown and the uses, and really create an interesting mix for our urban area.
That's a really good recap with history going back to 2013. You mentioned the AIA Charette and then a report. What was the name of that report?
Cosmont. K-O-S-M-O-N-T. They were a consulting firm that the city paid to do a big study of what would it take to economically bring downtown back from the doldrums that it's been in for the last couple of years. And they published a very extensive report, presented it to the city council, to community groups, and it had a very strong recommendation that housing should be part of the healthy mix of our downtown.
It's very interesting. My guest, architect Ellen Bilstein, local architect, part of the AIA, American Institute of Architecture. It's very interesting because I was also interviewing Dave Mullinax, who's one of the regional managers for the League of California Cities. And he pointed out that cities survive primarily on retail tax revenue. So they're pushing always shopping malls, retail stores. They want to see people coming into town to buy, but when they come into town to live, residential, you know, it's apartments or property owners, the property taxes, they get a very small piece, particularly ever since Prop 13. So it seems like the municipalities, the residents is not a moneymaker for them. Is there, do you think that that's a stumbling block?
I don't think it should be, but I agree and know that what you're saying is correct. I mean, the finances of the city are based on three legs of that stool. It's the TOT tax, the transit tax for people who are staying in our local hotels. It is property tax, so that's ownership of properties and the value associated with them. And then, of course, sales tax for representing how much shopping's going on in town. I guess, to my way of thinking, maybe one represents a greater dollar value than another, but it's in the mix of all of those that we get to a healthy community, which I think should be the higher calling of the way we focus our energies and what we allow to have happen in the community. Obviously, sales tax is way down with economic problems right now, and TOT is next to non-existent with our hotels not being open for business. So it's really property tax at the moment that's the one steady element of city finances. And if we can build greater value into the properties that people already own, I mean, if they were to develop their property, their property would be reassessed. So I don't think there is any lack of incentive for there to be an ability for property owners to improve their properties, regardless of where they're located, be it downtown or more in the outskirts of the city. But it all contributes, right? I mean, it's all a mix, and right now it's not a good math equation, at least from what I'm hearing the city talk about. They've really got to get some great sources of revenue in order to keep their budget on the
You know what they're going to do? They're going to start growing pot downtown, put it on the rooftops of Macy's and Nordstrom's, and that's what they're going to do. My guest is Ellen Bildston, a local architect here in Santa Barbara. Tell us, talk about more about the history, because pre-March of 2020, this has been going on for years. The downtown, the people would come into town, they would be upset with the homeless, they would be upset with seeing all these for lease signs, and, retail was empty and retail was dying and people were buying online, brick and mortar. So this is, it's been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah. I mean, it was back in 2016 that the AIA had Randy Rouse reach out to our group asking for help to understand why things were really kind of headed in the negative direction along State Street, and we were starting to see more and more vacancies, and it was a real cause for concern. So, I mean, now we're 4 years after that. We responded by doing that State Street charrette and, really looking at block by block along State Street, like what could we do to not just have the retail experience that we're all familiar with along there, but build in a richness of a more varied, call it more of a neighborhood, perhaps, where it isn't just about retail, but it makes retail that much more fun if you can wander back through the block, and instead of just hitting a surface parking lot, maybe you're getting to a beautiful Paseo, of the likes of which we see at El Paseo, which is such a beautiful experience to just sort of wander through that particular block behind De La Guerra Plaza. You know, if we had more of that happening throughout downtown and we had people living there 24/7, it's been shown, in other communities that when you build in that kind of density, you start to solve all kinds of problems that you didn't anticipate. Homelessness starts to reduce as a problem because you've got people living in that area who care and are paying attention, and they're, in the evening, early in the morning, there's just a greater vibrancy and energy about the downtown community when you have people really living there If we can figure out a way to have a more walkable community, people who then live downtown could potentially work there, walk to work, ride their bike to work. Maybe we could have less cars on the street overall, because it becomes just more of a, almost like a town, village type of model, and more about people living here than necessarily people visiting, shopping, and leaving. And it could be a really different sense of community that I think could just be very rich and really support the retail. There'd be a reason for more varied types of businesses too. You know, shoe repair, you know, little mom and pop shops, you know, because, you know, you just have more people milling around and, you know, helping to support the local businesses. I think it could be such a positive effect on our community overall.
My guest, Ellen Bilston, local architect, who's involved with her own business, of course, of designing homes, remodeling. But we're talking about the overall downtown area that's been experiencing issues for many years. And going back to 2013, when the average unit size density program went into place, but it didn't include State Street itself and right along Anacap and Chapala. So the push now is to revisit that and create more density. A lot of people don't like it. I was listening to that City Council, and by the way, when you mentioned Randy Grouse in 2016, spoke to the AIA, I was a former city councilman at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. Or at the time he was a city councilman, now he's a former city councilman. So, boy, a lot of people were complaining about, you know, building these small places, and they won't want what people want, and they don't want density. Maybe they bring up, did the Kosman report suggest closing State Street?
They mentioned that, you know, not necessarily that we would close the entire State Street, but more that, you know, there might be pop-up events. You might close a street or two on a temporary basis and kind of create a, you know, a real pedestrian thoroughfare feel for the duration of that event. It's something they looked into, and something I'm hearing people talk about more now, don't want to, you know, move the conversation towards the virus, but the reality being that as businesses come back, we won't want to sit densely in our local restaurants and things. And I've heard suggestions by a number of people that perhaps we really do shut down State Street, especially now, and let our restaurants spill out onto the street, onto the sidewalk, and, you know, have outdoor dining. If we're going to ask our restaurants to space the seats far apart from one another, that becomes a difficult situation for them. But if we were to really open up to the street, it could really help make for incredible vibrancy, an incredible opportunity to enjoy our beautiful weather, especially as we're coming into the summer now. That to me seems like an exciting idea that would be really interesting to see what that exactly means and let it play out.
Well, you know what? I mean, I know closing State Street, very controversial, but it seems like if for a temporary measure, they were going to, you know, suddenly say, you know what, tonight we're going to open up all the restaurants on State Street, and mm-hmm. we're going to temporarily close off State Street, and all mm-hmm. the restaurants, they're just going to take all their extra tables, and they're just going to put them out in the street and in the sidewalk, and yeah. let's just try that. Mm-hmm. I don't see any downside to trying it. I think closing State Street is very controversial, but because I think the situation we're in now is temporary, and eventually we'll be going back. It might take a long time. But, yeah, very interesting. Ellen Bilston, the State Street. So that's why Macy's, and as a matter of fact, when I interviewed, what's the architect's name?
Who Brian was on? Brian Cornell.
Brian Cornell. Yeah. That was about the time when the off Saks Fifth Avenue building they closed, and the owner actually wanted to do residential in there, but I guess because that they were in the, they weren't in that area, they didn't qualify for the average unit size density. So that didn't happen.
It's kind of a tricky situation to take a department store. I mean, you know, they're different types of buildings, and when you design them from, you know, originally, you dial in the right dimensions and the right amount of windows and where the structure occurs. It's, I think, proven difficult when you look at a Macy's or a Saks and talk about getting housing in there, but you're not talking about demoing the building. You're just talking about kind of renovating it. But, you know, there are code requirements for egress for housing that are very different from, you know, big department store wants long spans for, you know, for their retail purposes. It's a different type that doesn't really lend itself comfortably from one to the other. So I think we'll find better opportunities to create housing if we look at locations where we either build on top of existing, perhaps one-story structures along State Street, or unoccupied surface parking lots, or other opportunities like that where we get it right at the beginning. It ends up being really expensive to retrofit a department store into housing. And I think that's what's been recognized, and now they're finding other uses that lend themselves more to those big open spaces that the original department store offers.
Ellen, thank you for filling us in on what's going on with the City Council, with State Street, with the State Street Charette, with retail and housing. Appreciate you coming on. My guest has been Ellen Bildsten, B-I-L-D-S-T-E-N. Picture, what'd you call it? Picture Stone.
I also want to mention two very important people working together with me on AIA advocacy. We're co-chairs. And so the other two absolutely brilliant architects who are so committed to our community are Deddy Peikert at RRM Architects and Kath Ensberg of Ensberg Jacobs Architects. Both of them have been absolute soldiers for all the sorts of issues that we talked about this morning, and could similarly tell you a lot of really important things about what's going on with downtown these days. I just wanted to be sure to mention them before.
Ellen Bildsten, thank you so much. Good to talk to you. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a good one. Mark Schneibin's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.